Well, guys, we lost to a dude who was on the team for like 3 days and barely knew the names of the players and playbook. And yeah, so it was a good time yesterday. But hey, we're gonna talk about it. And life goes on. We'll move on. If y'all saw earlier on Twitter, Mike is out of town on work today. So it'll be me. But I do have a guest that's going to help me talk about that and other things. So let's get going. And welcome in, folks, to episode 139 of Out of Your Falcon Mind, Atlanta Falcons fan cast. My name is John, your host, not joined by Mike tonight. Like I said, he had to go out of town for work. He'll be back on Thursday night. He might pop in tonight. If he can get to his hotel in time and get settled, he might come in for a few minutes or longer. Who knows? But anyway, you know, it is what it is. I do have a guest, man, Scott Karasik from Blogging Dirty and Pro Sports Fans will be here with me in just a few minutes. And the man knows ball, the man knows football, so and he knows Falcons. So we're going to have a good time talking about it, even though it was a shitty way to end the weekend yesterday, at least for me and, of course, all you guys. But coming to you here in the Clutch Studios, Variety Sports Network, make sure you check out Variety Sports. They're going to be on later tonight with Talking the Gridiron, recapping this whole weekend's or Sunday's football, NFL. I might be on there for a few minutes talking about our Falcons and who knows what else, but I'll come later tonight, I think about 9, 10 o'clock our time. Saturday showdown on Saturdays for you college football fans, seventh inning stretch, taking a break now. Obviously, World Series is over with. Sunday morning tailgate, get you ready for NFL, double-double, basketball, NBA basketball show out now, Hoop Southbound, SEC basketball. There's so many to talk about, man. Just go check out Variety Sports on YouTube and drop them a sub. You will not be upset. So, let me bring in our guest for tonight, Mr. Scott Karasik. Buddy, how you doing, man?
I'm a little bit annoyed and a little bit frustrated, but, you know, that's life as a Falcons fan. I literally am tossing a stress ball right now to kind of...
That's smart, though. That's smart. You have to do those kind of things because, you know, like I posted earlier, you know, the 10 stages of Falcons fan fandom that Mike did, and I was like, you know, just where are you guys at today? You know, we got a lot of anger. We had a lot of the acceptance part of it. You know, we're like, okay, this is what we are now. I get it, you know. You know, so it's, I think, and then Falcoholic and our buddy over there, you know, he said that he went through all 10 stages yesterday, which is probably pretty accurate. You know, you can all in one game, you know. So it's that's probably,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what it pulled down to, man. But anyway, man, like I said, thanks for joining us, man. Glad you could be on the show, even though it's not under the best of circumstances. But hey,
yeah, would much rather have come on after a win, but
yeah, we all see how that happens. It would have been great, yeah. But hey, man, if you guys are new to the show, welcome in. Like I said, Mike will be back on Thursday, man. If you like the content here, drop us a like on the video. Get as many likes as we can. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. We much appreciate that. Helps the channel keep growing. And yeah, man.
Sorry, I'm reading one of the comments. It says, stress ball? I need to buy me a damn punching bag.
Yeah, man. Let's see what's up with the chat. Bubba Gump, what's going on, man? Good to see you, dude. Sour Pickle, what's up, guys? Coach Smith getting annoyed more. Yeah. We're going to talk about it all, man. We're going to talk about it. Ant, what's good, buddy? How you doing, man? Jordan, what's up? Yeah, rough day for sure. I mean, they just – they have to just keep one-upping themselves. I mean, they can't just – I don't know. I guess it's – I don't know. It's tough. Let's see, where was that? There. Carrie, what's going on? Good to see you. Marina, what's going on? Yeah, I think Mike, he'll be good. He's somewhere here in Georgia. I don't think he went out of the state. What's going on, GAT? To see you, man. Man said, I love this team, but damn, this annoying scoring in the red zone getting annoying. Yeah, you know, jet sweeps to the never mind. We'll talk.
I mean, on the bright side, they were 1-for-2 in the red zone, but that's a whole other thing I want to bring up later.
Yeah, I have to laugh so I don't cry. Kenny, what's going on, man? He said, fellas, I have one question. What's the variable to loosening? Losing to the backup quarterbacks. Obviously, our coach don't know the answer. So, Mr. Blank, please get him out of here. Man, there's a lot of folks really.
Whoa. Yeah, I'm gonna throw this out there. I don't really consider Will Levis to be the backup quarterback in Tennessee. I consider Will Levis to be more the quarterback of the future in Tennessee.
Yeah.
So losing to the quarterback of the future in the now is a little bit more understandable. For the most part, they contained Levis. They had three coverage busts, and those three coverage busts were the game, basically. If they don't have those three coverage busts, maybe the game ends up being more like a 23-10 kind of game. You know, flow of the game got kind of out of hand. And that's if they also don't call that OPI. If they call that OPI they don't have that coverage bus, like, that's a game where the Falcons are winning like 23-3 and probably more what the game flow should have been. But I digress on that game, because that game was frustrating. This past though, the losing to Josh Dobbs 4 days in, that's fucking embarrassing.
Dude, on every level, man. I mean, and if y'all were on Twitter yesterday, y'all probably saw me go off. I was at Liam's baseball games. We got there. We were at first game started at 9. Then we had a game at 11:20. And then they did well. So we made a championship game, which didn't start till 4. So I got to watch the game in between, which was good and bad. I was watching it on my phone. But, I do a pretty decent job of maintaining, like, my emotions for the most part on Sundays. But I was heated yesterday, dude. I was just pissed. And I think it's just because, you know, we've defended Arthur for so long. And it was just like, dude, I mean, you got to do something here to prove why we keep doing this, you know, why we keep defending you. And I was just pissed, man. But it is what it is, man. Bubba Gump, this is 2018, 2020 vibes, and you find a new ways to lose every week. Man, it seems that way. And it was a dumbass loss, dude. Reggie, what's up? Oh yeah. Ant said, yeah, I need a bunch. Yeah, dude, you might just need to like buy one so you have it during the games and you know, maybe start working out. Hopefully, what's up, man? Good to see you, dude.
What up, man?
Liam, what's up? D, what's up, man? Still hope. There is, man. We are only a game back, and it's all in front of them. They just got to change everything about the season so far, the next 8-9 games.
I mean, so, this schedule lines up perfectly. If the team can win out, like, they legitimately could win out.
I know.
The way the schedule is.
Yeah.
If, and now don't get me wrong, I would love to see it, but I have no faith in it. But it could be a situation like, 2018, where they were just absolute trash for 8 weeks, and then they won like 6 of the last 8. Yeah. And like, I would love that kind of situation where, yeah, we were all kind of down on that team and they were 1-7 at the time. And yeah, they won 6 of the last 8. That was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Hell, if we win 6 of the last 8 this year, that's the Falcons going 10-7.
Yep.
That's the Falcons in the playoffs. That's them hosting a playoff game. I think they can do it. I don't have any faith that they do it, but I think they can do it. And the lack of faith right now is because of Arthur Smith.
Right. And
because he just has gone completely confusing on his offensive scheme. And he's been absolutely terrible with his management of the quarterback situation. But
yeah, 100% CHS monster. If anything, we should draft another offensive weapon that might help with the red zone.
Hey, I use what we have.
I mean, you know, I think Fleek posted earlier about how are we drafting like these decoys in the top 10? I'm like, yeah, I think, did we just draft another decoy for our already said decoy? Is that what we did? I mean, it seems like what we did. But yeah, he did shave his mustache, so and then he said he regretted it, so I think he's gonna be growing it back. But you know, and then Gabriel, what's up, man? He said, if Josh Dobbs did that to us, I can only imagine what Kyler will do. Yes, Kyler Murray is back this week, so that's something we get to look forward to.
I mean, at least Kyler Murray isn't a strong ass quarterback like Josh Dobbs to break through tackles, you know.
That's true.
If he gets hit by Alford like the way Dobbs got hit, I think he's actually going down.
Agreed. Yeah, I agree. Jamal, what's up, man? Good to see you, dude. And I'll get back to you guys in a second. We're going to get into it. So Myles Garrett tweeted out after the first half, that 11, we had 11 points. He's like, hey, this is the most points that we've scored in the first half all season. And I was like, that can't be right. It was fucking right. 11 points, dude.
But the offense only scored 9, and the offense has scored 9 4 times right. this year. So what's really different there?
Oh, nothing. I was saying that's how sad that is, that it was 11 yeah. points. I mean, just and in general, it's
they terrible. Scored 17 points in the second half, which that sounds great. But when you go back and you watch how they got it, everybody is so results-oriented. Results, 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 results. Focus on the process, because if you get results and the process is shit, you're not going to get those results again. It's absolutely mind-blowing to me. Focus on the process. Is the process repeatable to get 2 touchdowns in the second half again with Taylor Heinicke, when the first one was, hey, we're going to throw a screen pass. Oh, wait, the screen pass went 60 yards? Awesome. That's luck more than anything else. You know, lucky that you called the right play. Mm-hmm. You got good blocking, all that. Jonnu Smith just took off and had a rocket up his ass. Like, that was awesome. Great.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fucking great play. But that's not repeatable week to week. You know, especially once you put it on film and teams scout for it.
Right.
So, okay, well, what was the other touchdown? Oh, well, they grinded down the field. They had a little 10-yard pass, and then grinded down the field the entire rest of the situation. And, yeah, there was a little scramble for Heinicke. That's not repeatable. So what's repeatable about that? Oh, they called 11 straight running plays. Well, when you have 11 straight running plays, you can do that, but eventually a team's going to load up against the run. You got to be able to beat them with your arm. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but the 2 red zone drives, one was created by a fumble that was brought back to the 1, and we'll get to that.
God.
And then the other was running the ball against cover 3 defense. Like, neither one of those is really repeatable. So let's figure this out again.
Yeah, to say the least, man. And y'all saw the game. Early in the game, Jaren Hall goes down, gets concussed. Josh Jobs come in, and I had this just gut. I was like, oh no, why is even though he'd only been on the team for 3 or 4 days, I was like, this just sets up perfectly for Alfredo's own Josh Jobs come back and do something ridiculous. And of course, that's what happens. Like you said, the defense helps you out early, gives you a safety. They give you starting field position on the 1 with Lorenzo Carter returning into the 1.
Give you another short field after the Kentavious Street fumble recovery that
on the 30 like pick. And you get 6 points off of both. So
that if that is 14 points and not 6 points, the Vikings aren't even trying to get that last touchdown.
No,
at the end.
No, you can easily be up 2 or 3 touchdowns in the first half.
And people wonder why I'm like, oh, Heinicke didn't really play well. Because he didn't.
No, and that's the thing. Me and Mike were texting during the game, and I said, I don't see a huge difference here between what I saw with Ritter. I mean, he could have thrown. You said you watched the game back. I haven't watched it back yet because I didn't have time. Like I said, we were at the field all day. I didn't want to put myself through it. But he had the 1 pick and 2 other, 3 other possible picks that were dropped.
He had 2 others that hit the defender in the hands.
Right,
and then he had probably 3 passes. That had the Vikings been playing their defense the correct way and had their guy at the right landmark, would have also been picks because they were just blown coverages that he threw the ball where the guy blew the coverage, which is great if you have your guy also there in a blown coverage, but there was not a Falcon in sight either. So it was like, okay. And one of those, the guy almost made the play on. So you're like,
yeah,
what are we doing here?
Yeah. And he was fully, he took full responsibility afterwards. He said that, the pick was just a terrible throw. He threw it way behind him. So I give him credit for that. But if you're, we said all along, if you're going to make the switch, okay, that's fine. But it better look a lot different because that's what you're banking it on, right, Arthur? You're banking on this guy coming in and running your offense better than Desmond to get us wins, to get us to the playoffs. And I understand it's only 1 game, but you look at Taylor, and Taylor's been this guy's whole career. I like Taylor, but he's been, we said it on the show, his turnover-worthy plays was the same. The percentage was the same as Desmond's this year. So it's not like you're just going from, a rookie to just this vaunted backup. I mean, like, it's, that wasn't the case. It was just, nope. I mean, the same deal. So to me, and Arthur's, if y'all haven't seen it, Arthur's already said Taylor's going to start again this week, and they would reassess after the bye week or during the bye week what they want to do going forward.
And maybe what they're reassessing is, all right, well, Ritter, here's how you handle a muddy pocket. You know, hey, watch him do it. This is how you're supposed to do it. Hey, this is how you're supposed to do this read, or this read. Or you can be like, listen, you see where he missed on that? We need you to actually hit that.
Yeah.
And then you throw him back in the last six games, ride or die, and take the lumps. But I think, unfortunately, the one thing we're going to see from – I think, unfortunately, we basically need to have Heinicke get injured for Ritter to get back in this season or just absolutely melt down. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to see either situation.
Right.
You know, I don't want to see him absolutely melt down. Not unless the Falcons get like three defensive turnovers that they've run back for touchdowns.
Yeah.
And like, it's like a 35-3 win. Sure. And yeah, like Heinicke threw four picks and you're just like, all right, well, the offense didn't score a single touchdown, but the defense got us five. So let's throw Ritter back out there with this defense and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it all depends on, I guess, how Sunday goes. But, you know, like Mike said last week, you know, he wanted to give, you know, Taylor basically the rest of the season to see if he can run the offense better. And I'm on the fence. If he came out and was just like blowing doors a Sunday and he was just like, oh shit, this is the guy. Like he just came out and like ran the offense to a T and was completing passes everywhere and not sailing balls, not throwing picks. Like, I would have been like, okay, all right, this guy can run the offense. Let's go. Let's keep it going. But that just wasn't the case. It was just a lot of the similar things that we've seen outside of, yeah, there were definitely some things he did better than Desmond, which you would expect from a veteran quarterback. Like you said, navigating the pocket better, maybe seeing a few things a little better, stuff that you only get with reps. And that's the only way that you're going to get better at those things. So, go ahead.
As a 30-year-old, 8-year pro, there's not much improvement Taylor's going to make.
Yeah, I know. So, I mean, if you're looking at the future for the Falcons, you know, and again, barring Taylor coming out and just lightening up next week, I mean, if you still want to see what you got from Dez, maybe after he sat now for 2 weeks and had a bye week and maybe some time to, like you said, see how things are done a little bit differently. I mean, you're going to be going looking for a quarterback in the offseason, that he needs to play the rest of the season to figure out, okay, can he be the future? Because I don't think you're going to go with Taylor. I just don't think. I mean, next year, unless, like I said, barring anything crazy, I just think that's probably not going to be the case. So it's either going to be Dez or we're in the quarterback market again. So why not just see what you got with Dez at that point? Because again, the play wasn't that much different. And we'll get to it. I mean, okay, we'll start with this, I guess. The after the turnover on the one, we had a false start, put us back, which is maddening, maddening.
It's frustrating, but I don't blame. Like, if you false start at the one and it's first down, you still have four downs to get 6 yards. Like,
yeah, I get it. Yeah, totally. And then to run a jet sweep to Jonnu while Kyle is blocking Danielle Hunter to the left side of your line, where, you know, you say is the weaker part of your line as far as run blocking goes. Dude, I don't know what the hell you're doing, man. Like, we've said it over and over again. Like, you don't have to be the smartest guy in the room. You don't have to, I think that he thinks that I'm thinking this. I'm going to do this. No, shut the hell up, dude. Just do what works. Like, this doesn't have to be cute. It doesn't have to be special. Yeah. Like, I mean, you look, the targets for this game, top two guys that targeted, Jonnu Smith, Kadarryl Hodge. I know Drake's out, but – for Christ's sake, dude. I mean, like, that's not, I mean, other teams that have,
I don't like even stars, mind the first down pass to Jonnu Smith.
No, I don't mind that. No.
Like, that was fine. I don't even mind that the third down run was a stretch left with Tyler Allgeier. I don't mind that. I mind that those weren't the first two plays of the drive. Because if those were the first two plays of the drive, you're like, okay, Jonnu gets five. Tyler runs stretch left. Okay, yeah, he lost some yardage. What do you run again? You fake that stretch left. You roll out. You have Bijan on a low cross. You have Pitts on a middle cross. And then you run a dig with whatever the wide receiver is you want to run a dig with. I throw Hodge out there because he's got that rapport with Heinicke and hit the guy that's open. Run a three-man levels concept to the right, hit the man that's open, awful play action naked boot, faking the stretch left. Arthur has run stretch left back-to-back plays this year, mm-hmm. so it's not like it's a crazy thought process that he would do it again. So, I mean, you don't have to overthink it.
No, that's what he always have done. It's been like the constant. That's one thing we said at the beginning of the season. It's like you want to see progress from Ritter, of course, but you also want to see progress from Arthur. Like, dude, you have to stop doing some of this, like, overthinking things, because it boils down to be fairly simple. Because if you look at it, I mean, Josh Dobbs just rolled in, just landed in fucking Minnesota 4 days ago, and look what happened. I mean, like, it's not that – don't make it more complicated than it already is. And, by the way, Bijan wasn't on the field in that entire series.
You know what's absolutely frustrating, too? That exact two-play series, that stretch left, fake stretch left, the Vikings ran it for a touchdown. They ran a stretch left with Cam Akers. He got tackled for no gain. Then they run a fake stretch left, roll out right, and hit Madison for a touchdown. Like, is it really that fucking complicated? Now, don't get me wrong. I think Kevin O'Connell's a really good coach.
Yeah.
But, like, you don't have to overthink it. I'm just annoyed, man.
No, I know. And then, you know, a big component of at least the first half, the run game was fairly non-existent. I think we had 21 rushing yards in the first half. At one point, right before the half there, we had 12. I think that's been we have the 25th rated. We thought going in to the season, elite rushing team, elite run off a rush offense. I'm sorry, elite rushing offensive line. You know, we're 25th. So,
why haven't we run the scheme we ran last year? Wouldn't that make more sense with better personnel to run the same scheme that your guys are already used to? Again, this is Arthur Smith overthinking everything yet again. Stop overthinking. It's football.
And this stack in the box thing, like, this is not new. They did this last year too. Yeah. I mean, like, this is not anything new. I mean, they were going against 7-8 man boxes all last year as well. Continued to run it and they were successful doing it. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know whether it's offensive line regression or stubbornness or a combination of the both. But I mean, you know, if you have the 25th rated running offense and you can't throw super well and you're not calling a great game, then you get what we have right now. You can't have all three shit the bed at the same time. I mean,
I think a large part of the issue with the offensive play calling, with the regression of the quarterbacks, with all of this, is the structure of the coaching staff. There is no quarterbacks coach. You have Matt Schaub already on your staff. You need to promote him to quarterbacks coach over the bye. Let him. He's a third round quarterback who had success in the NFL. Let him jump in there and talk with Dez and really be that mentor for Dez. Very similar passers. Dez, I mean, the arm strength, everything. Very similar passers, Schaub and Dez. Dez has a little bit more running ability, a little bit more mobile. That's good. Talk to Dez about how he's supposed to be feeling the pocket presence too. I know it's a feel thing. It is something that you pick up with the reps. Mm-hmm. But at least talk to the guy about it. Like, figure out, like, okay, well, when you start feeling that pressure, you got to roll. If you start feeling that pressure and out of the corner of your eye, you see that you've got the ability to roll over to the right, you got to roll over to the right and flow with the play. And a lot of it's instinctual and you get with reps. We've covered this, but I mean, I'm missing where having competent coaches in the right spots became something that Arthur Smith didn't want to do. Like, how hard is it to be like, oh, TJ Yates, you played quarterback in the NFL. Let's move you over to quarterback's coach. Hey, Matt Schaub, you want to be our passing game coordinator? Awesome. All right. who do we need at wide receiver coach? Well, Mosa Nu said he'd do it. And that he just wants to get in there and work with the wide receivers to be more quarterback friendly. If anybody understands empathetic route running, which is a term that was coined by my old podcast host when I was doing Convention Draft Knicks a decade ago, it would be Mohamed Sanu. Because he played quarterback at Rutgers. He understands, hey, this is what the quarterback's going to be looking for. So if you see this spot, just move over two steps to the left, you know, just kind of keep flowing a little bit, and you're going to be right there for your quarterback. Like, if we had a wide receivers coach who did that instead of sit there and hit the guy with a pool noodle all day, we'd be in a much better situation.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And so, I mean, how much of it, I shouldn't say that. They asked Art today about the play calling duties, and if it's some, or maybe it was yesterday. It was one, I don't know. They run together. If it's something he would consider giving up. And he just said, you know, of course, he's not going to answer that. He just said, you know, it's something we evaluate everything. And, you know, it's something that it's not an ego thing. And do you think there's any chance that he does that? That he gives that play call and lets us, okay, we're going, you go for it?
Not this season, but it might be something that he has to do at the end of this season where, you know, maybe Eric Bieniemy is out of a job. And Eric Bieniemy is not getting a head coaching job. The NFL owners do not like Eric Bieniemy as a head coach. There's something about his personality that rubs him the wrong way. He's interviewed with, and this is just the facts. He's interviewed with 27 different teams and not a single one has hired him as head coach. There's something there with his personality that they go, this is not the guy. And that's perfectly fine. Happened to Mike Zimmer too. Took Zimmer like literally interviewing with every team over a 20-year span to finally get a job with the Vikings. So eventually he might get a job, but you bring Bieniemy in here. We've seen what he's done with Sam Howell. He's really boosted Sam Howell. Howell is not that good. You watch the process for Howell and you're like, what is he doing half the time? We have that same thought with Ritter already, right? Half the time you're going to be that. And you're like, okay, well, he's a rookie, but he's helping him improve. So a guy like Bieniemy is going to sit there and go, all right, well, my horses are Pitts, London, and Robinson. So let me design a play that's going to have Pitts and London on the same side of the field attacking the same group of guys, and that's going to be the first two reads. And then my check down on that play is going to be Robinson. And then my second check down on that play is going to be Jonnu Smith. Jonnu Smith is the fourth option. That's a perfectly acceptable play design, right? Mm-hmm. In everybody's head, you're like, all right, well, if it's London on this play, well, all right, well, London didn't get the ball. All right, well, he checked down to Robinson. That's fine. All right, well, it's London was covered, so it's Pitts on this play. All right, that's fine. Like, you know, but you put them on the same side of the field to stress a defense. They're not doing that a lot this year, and it's really hurting the offense.
Yeah, and I get that, you know, you're going to throw it to the open guy. I totally get that. But, you know, if you do draft three playmakers in the top 10, you're going to have to get them the ball at some point and scheme a way to do that. And I don't care. I mean, I'm not – that's not my job.
Use them with
each other. Sure. And that's not my job. I mean, that's his job to figure that out. And there's teams all over the league that have elite receivers or elite backs or elite tight ends. The other defenses are scheming against to stop, but they still get their targets. They still get their receptions. They still get their yards because that's what they are. And the offensive coordinator, the head coach, whoever has figured out how to get them open or how to get them involved. And that's what we have not done very much of. We've used them as decoys and occasionally they'll get it, but not at the level that we've been wanting to see. So,
I mean, how hard would it be to add some switch releases between London and Pitts to this offense?
Yeah, right. And there was, and I don't know if you saw this tweet or not, but there was a tweet from, I don't know if I still have it. It was, I can't remember his name. I'll look for it later. But it was there. Basically, he was talking about, what'd she say?
She goes, I'm so fed up with Arthur Smith right now, honestly. Oh, yeah. I feel that. Like,
I mean, yeah, everybody is, I think, at this point.
Just the play design, like the passing concepts that he runs, it can't be that hard.
And that is right, yeah.
What are the variables to Bijan Robinson, eighth overall pick at running back, getting only one carry inside the 5 yard line?
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I can tell you the one variable to it is that Arthur Smith is a moron. I mean, I'm just fed up. Like,
I know, dude. I mean, like I said,
I defended him for two seasons. Like, hey, he doesn't have the horses. You know, he didn't have the quarterback, and then he didn't have, you know, like he didn't have the line the first year. He didn't have the quarterback the second year. What's his excuse this year?
Yeah, well, that's why I was so, I guess, pissed off yesterday. It was the same thing. I'm like, dude, I have like on this show and anywhere else, like the same reason. Like, you didn't have any money. You got 7 wins out of that group last year. Amazing. Like, you like outdid yourself doing that. And we could have literally had 10, probably 8, 9 wins with a few plays don't go the wrong way, a few stupid ass fumbles and whatnot. But
if they start Ritter at the Bears game and he's actually ready for the Saints game.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Oh, dude, I know. We've said it too. But that's what's frustrating. It's like, man, we've backed you up this entire time. Like, I don't know what's happening or why, but what's going on, pups? It's awesome.
Sorry, my wife just got home, so they're barking at the window at her.
It's all good. But yeah, no, the thread from Jacob Gibbs, that's who it was. And he's worked for CBS Fantasy. This is crazy. Three stats for the backfield and yards before contact per rush. Bijan has 1.73. Tyler's got 0.30. The NFL average is 1.27. Algiers rate is kind of hard to believe, is what he said. So short yardage rushing, 3 or fewer yards to the first down. Rushing total yards per attempt, Bijan 5.7, Tyler 2.3. Success rate 65% for Bijan, 57% for Tyler. Explosive rush percentage of runs that gain 10 plus yards rate, 15.5% for Bijan, 6.9% for Algier. Only Raheem Mostert has a higher explosive rush rate than Robinson among backs with 100 plus attempts. I know you have to use both backs. I get that. I love Tyler to death. Y'all know I do. I have his jersey. But damn it, man. Like,
those stats look very similar to Tyler Algier's last season at the same point.
Mm-hmm.
Algier might just be one of those guys who's the second half of the year back where got to get it going and he's got to fill that flow with the offensive line. And he started the last few weeks really kind of getting into that groove with the offensive line here and there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's going to continue throughout. Like, I think the running game these last 8 weeks are – I think that's going to be fine. I think that's going to come back. That's going to look great. That won't really be an issue. I worry about the passing game with Heinicke, but they should be using Bijan more, maybe not for carries, right?
Just involved, man. Just involved.
I think a lot of people look at the carries and they're like, oh, well, you know, he's not getting enough carries because he's not tracking 300. It's like, no, this isn't your fantasy team. He doesn't have to track 300 carries. He should track at least 320 touches, though. Like, if he's got 250 carries and 70 catches, that's perfectly fine because he should be able to get 1,500 yards, right? 1,500 all-purpose yards is a great season for your running back.
That's what I was hoping for this year from him, yeah.
You know, that's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see 1,000 yards on the ground, 500 through the air, use him a little bit more in the passing game, but I hate how they've been using him in the passing game. The issue isn't that they're using him in the passing game as a wide receiver. It's that they're using him on comeback routes and only comeback routes.
That's what it seems, yep.
He's a running back. Yes, he can run more than a comeback route. At least run him on some drive routes, that short crosser.
Let him get going.
Run him on some ins, some outs. Hell, you called a screen to Jonnu. Imagine that same screen with Bijan Robinson there instead of Jonnu. I mean, just think about it. That same screen, that same play, if Bijan Robinson's in that spot instead of Jonnu, he can break tackles better. He can evade tackles better. It just makes more sense. That same little bubble screen they've been running with Cordarrelle Patterson. again, if the idea is get the guy into space and give him some blocking while you're out there, let's run some screens for him. Let's stop running these comeback routes where he's going to get tackled right away. Like, you know, get him into space. Let him run some flat routes where he's the check down and can take that check down 30 yards downfield. I mean, we're running those with Tyler Algier last year. Why can't we run those with Bijan Robinson this year? Like, I'm not asking for a ton, right? I'm asking for a simple, competent game plan with your run scheme, with your pass scheme. You know, stick with what worked last year. Run a lot of outside zone, run a lot of stretch, run a lot of inside zone, run some of these counters off of that because those seem to work. Keep running what works. But the passing offense should just be fucking scrapped.
Like,
scrap the passing offense, bring someone in here who knows how to call passing plays, and just go with that. And I'd be okay if they simplified the running game down to make a better passing offense if they used more play action. They started using some play action, and it started working, and then they went away from it, and now the offense has gone to hell. Like, use a little bit of play action. Maybe that'll help. Like, I don't know the exact stats, but you can just see it week to week. The play action rate's going.
Yep. Dude, I don't, Joel, man, this is Arthur, buddy. I mean, we're going help with the game planning, but this is Arthur calling all the plays, dude. This is his offense. This is his baby. This is why we brought him here, because he's an offensive. I mean, what he did in 2019 with the Titans, I haven't seen that offense since. And I know, granted, a lot of it was, he had the personnel there, and he had Derek freaking Henry, which helps. But, I mean, you know, he didn't have the personnel the first 2 years here. Now he does, or at least he said he did. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's Bubba Gump said that's what's so frustrating. This team should be running through the schedule. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're not going to get an easier schedule than what we've had this year. I mean, on paper, the amount of rookie quarterbacks or first-time starters or whatever the hell you want to call it. And now we got Kyler Murray coming back off of an injury. You know, I mean, I don't know, man. Facebook user, what's up? I don't know why it's not telling me your name. He said, what's repeatable every week? Missing tackles. Yes, that's where we're going to go next with the defense. Defense, now they did enough to keep, like I said, they gave you a safety. They had another turnover, like we said, 1 yard line, 30 yard line, safety. Again, the score should have been way different in the first half than what it was. And that's on the offense.
100%.
But yeah, the defense definitely had their struggles, no doubt. And tackling
after two turnovers, if your drives are -6 and -4 yards, and you're blaming anybody but the offense for this loss, like, don't get me wrong, there were times when the defense could have sealed it. There were two tackles in particular that would have sealed this game. One was the DL for tackle on a third down.
Yeah.
When it was like 3rd and 8 or 3rd and 9, and he had him 20 yards behind the first down, and then he somehow got it, right? The other is that 4th and long where Dobbs got the first down. 4th and 7, Dobbs got the first down. If D. Alford and Bud Dupree make those two tackles, one, pass rush has 6 sacks. That's a good-looking game, right?
Yeah.
Not a bad-looking game at all. And so that's definitely one thing. The other thing that you get after seeing the pass rush has 6 sacks, you stop 2 clutch drives while they were driving down the field, and you ended the damn game. That 4th and 7 was with like 1.5 minutes to go, maybe less than that.
Yeah.
You stop that 4th and 7 play, you get the ball back. I think the Vikings had 1 timeout left. Like, so. That's game.
Yeah.
You know,
like you and I were talking, yeah, game. Like you and I were talking before the show, I mean, the Bud Dupree one hurts more because you're the size of Bud Dupree, right? I mean, and then you've got a 5'9", 180 D. Alford coming up to take on Josh Dobbs, who's 6'4", 2+, whatever. That's a harder tackle for him to make. So I get it. It's not an easy tackle for that size guy to make for him in the background. But so for him to get loose and nobody else get him, though, it's like, damn it, dude, seriously? But yeah.
I mean, best thing D. Alford could have done was knock the ball out of his hand, too.
Right, right.
D. Alford knocks the ball out of his hand. You don't even have to worry about a punt after that. Boom, that's your ball at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Jamal, I mean, like we talked about, the biggest difference was kind of the pocket awareness. Other than that, it's similar type throws, similar type, oh shit, that's not a good throw, or it's thrown to the wrong guy or whatever. It was the same. And the other PR, yeah, Reed definitely got more legs. It was, if they call plays for him to use his legs, yeah, they should. He's definitely do it. But
they completely, I mean, took out an element of the offense by putting Heinicke in there, because Heinicke's not running those zone reads.
No. And that's one thing, I don't know what you thought earlier, but I have been calling all year for them to, for Des to use his legs more. I mean, like, I don't know how many times we saw backside naked boot was wide the hell open, nobody even remotely accounting for him. And if he takes it, then he's, I don't even know how, he's still running at this point. Like, I mean, there was, but it, they never did it. I mean, it was just, it was very, very annoying, man. CHS said it did seem like he was playing more comfortable than Ritter. Unfortunately, yeah, he didn't play well, but I believe he had better awareness. Yeah, I'm asking. And that's, I mean, the thing. That's the thing. You expect him to have better awareness just for an 8-year veteran. He's going, I mean, you hoped he does, for God's sake. I mean, that's a,
let's look at it like Madden ratings, right? Yeah, his awareness rating may be like a 95, but his overall is still a 71. So
yeah.
Who gives a shit? Like, yeah, like Ritter's overall might be a 70 right now, but fuck, his awareness is like a 65. Once his awareness gets up with the snaps, he might be closer to an 85 or an 88 yeah, or a 90 or whatever. Like,
yeah,
that's what's yeah, frustrating.
Yeah, and hopefully you're right, man. And Ritter was, the, like we said on the show before, his you could see the passing game progressing with him. It was just the turnovers, and it was just the weird turnovers and the dumbass turnovers that were killing him, and the fumbles specifically. But, I mean,
yeah, a lot of those fumbles happen to every single quarterback too, which is what's really frustrating to see. Like, every single quarterback will have a defender knock the ball out of their hands.
Mm-hmm.
There's something, well, like,
actually happened to Taylor, like, in this game.
There's something like 10 quarterback or 10 quarterbacks in the NFL right now that have 7 or more fumbles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Only one of them has more than 4 of them lost.
Our guy.
So there's some bad luck there, right?
Definitely, yeah.
Brock Purdy had like 1 or 2.
And Taylor had one yesterday. And I know it wasn't, I know he was called down, but I mean, it was, yeah.
That was luck. That was luck. He wasn't down.
I know.
And I say that as objective as I can.
Same, yeah. I know. I agree. Padre, what's, dude, thank you, buddy, for the super chat. I got to get like a sounder like Low Hat. I know he just does like the da-da-da super. I got to get like something going on there. I'm slacking on that one. But he said, what's good, fellas? Good to see Scott in his element again. I'm kind of glad Mike ain't. Mike's going to have a damn field day on Thursday. He's gonna have to get his thoughts in, trust me. We have to go up to Fowler Branch and get some furniture moving, dude. Yeah. He said last week he's going to get after Art this week if we lost. So, yeah.
I'm more or less done with Art at this point. Like, he's got a – he went from like, all right, he might kind of know what he's doing with the run game, I still don't love his passing concepts, to, nah, man, this dude's a fucking idiot, like, this week.
Yeah, and from the PR said, guys, it's the O-line. It has regressed to a point of incompetence. I wouldn't go to incompetence.
That's on coaching. Yet,
but it's definitely gotten regression. No doubt about it.
That's 100% on coaching. That's always on coaching.
Yeah, I agree. And CHS responder said the Sanders family in 2024.
Dude, that's the next storyline that's going to be so fucking annoying to deal with.
It really is.
I like Shedeur Sanders. I like him a lot. But if he came out this year, he's a 4th-round pick, because he has not shown he can handle pressure.
No, and that offensive line there is god-awful.
That offensive line's given him all the practice in the world.
It is, and yeah, they are.
He still can't handle pressure. They don't run hots. He doesn't know how to check to a hot. There's a lot of different things that Shedeur Sanders needs to do to grow and become a first-round quarterback. He looked really good early on. That was his like, preview. But once you kind of see him with some of the better Pac-12 teams, now don't get me wrong, there's no defense played in the Pac-12, but some of those better Pac-12 teams are still wrecking him.
Yeah.
And that's not what you want to see from a junior. Like,
for sure.
He's still got a lot of stuff to do. And I want nothing to do with Deion Sanders as the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. I don't think he's a good coach.
I don't want, not for the pro level. I love Deion, but yeah, I haven't seen enough yet for as far to say
he'll be fine in the college level where wonky shit works. the wonky shit with his kind of coaching stuff that he does not work in the pros. Pros are not going to give a shit if his fucking mom comes in, right?
Yeah, it's a tougher sell. That's definitely what you're talking to grown ass men at that point.
Give me a fucking professional coach. Give me someone like Ben Johnson, you know, in the offseason, bring in Pep Hamilton to be an offensive coordinator guy. That would be great too.
We said last week. I don't know. I would go grab Pep Hamilton right now off NFL Network and be like, dude, like, do you want a job? Come in, come
here. Here's $1.5 million. You are a passing game coordinator and quarterback.
Absolutely.
Coach. And I want you to spend every waking minute with Ritter. And I'm sure his wife will love having the live-in guest, but, chip in for some food and they'll be okay with it.
Exactly. Tino, what's up, buddy? A few positive notes. Nate Landman's still doing a damn job.
Fucking love
at linebacker. Man. Dude, I do too, man.
Next year's going to be great because Bud Dupree will hopefully be gone. Hopefully they use Arnold Ebiketie in his role where he actually gets to rush the passer.
Let's talk about that.
Play like Cliff Avril, which is probably what you want to use Ebiketie as. Not this weird fucking hybrid coverage linebacker that they think he is. Dude is not a coverage linebacker. He is one of the worst coverage players I've ever seen. Oh, Damski, that's not even a hot take, man. Nate Landman is our best linebacker. Absolutely. He absolutely is our best linebacker. But you throw Troy Anderson in Ellis's role at the will. You put Ellis in a Sam role. And then when you go to nickel, you can start running some 3-3-5 and some 4-2-5. You know?
Yeah, I can't wait to see what it looks like with Troy in the mix. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Dude, 10 total tackles, a sack, got his first sack, 2 tackles for loss. I know we don't give a whole lot of weight to PFF, but again, 81.6, like he's constantly in the 80s for PFF scores, which is damn good.
I mean, EFF is one of those things that I have a love-hate relationship with.
Yeah, same.
Because I think when it comes to offensive line and defensive line, they don't really know what they're doing. But when it comes outside of that, they're actually pretty solid. Because I wouldn't have – I think they overrate running play, both offensively and defensively. They overrate how well you can run defend and how well you can run block in their overall grades, because some of this stuff makes no sense.
Not at all. We get lost in stuff sometimes. I'm like, dude, I mean, I understand it's, they're all measured. That's all we use it for. It's like, okay, they're all measured against the same metric. That's the only plus that we can take out of it. And then Onyemata's still killing it too. I mean, another like 10 sacks or 10 tackles as well. Sack again. Jesse Bates, 71. Caden Ellis, 70. And Ebiketie, 68.9. That was the top five in PFF.
What dragged Ebiketie's grade down? The fact that he played 15 snaps in coverage and was getting destroyed. Let him play the run and the pass. He doesn't need to play coverage. In coverage makes absolutely no sense.
No, I don't. You, like I said, you move up the year prior to get him, to rush the passer, and he's not been rushing the passer, which is extremely annoying. So, I mean, I'm with you.
4 pass rush snaps. I bet if you have Ebiketie in on that final play where Bud Dupree is and Bud Dupree's playing the other end, that contain gets held up a little bit better. And Ebiketie's destroying a rookie left tackle. And maybe Ebiketie doesn't make the tackle, but maybe he runs him into Dupree.
Right.
That's all you need there. Like, I feel like they're trying to make Lorenzo Carter a thing. And Lorenzo Carter has no business being on the field a lot of the time.
He's good against the run. He sets the edge well. As far as rushing the passer, it's not really there. Hasn't been there.
Okay, so in base, right?
So
in base, let's take Campbell out of the base set and put Carter where Campbell is as strong side defensive end.
Yeah.
Let's take Harrison and put him as the other guy in base. And then in nickel, you have Onyemata, Campbell, Dupree, Ebiketie. That should be your set. If you want to get Carter on the field so much, do it that way. And then maybe in base, you have D'Angelo Malone start taking some of those strong side linebacker coverage reps set. coverage rep snaps that Ebiketie has, and just get rid of this concept of Ebiketie needs to play in coverage, because he's awful at it. He's awful. He is lost. When I watch him every week and I'm watching his playing coverage, I go, what is he doing?
Yeah. Oh, and then, but we've heard that they put him in practice with the linebackers, and you know, and like, I mean, I get he's not the ideal size that, you know, Nielsen's had in the past and everything, but I mean, like,
dude, he's about like, the same size as Trey Hendrickson. He's really not that small.
No, he's not small. He's like
Hendrickson was 265. They're basically the same height. Yeah. He's actually got longer arms. He's actually a longer player, uses his length better. Mm-hmm. Like, just use him like he's Trey Hendrickson. Let him just fucking crush left tackles every game. Let him crush right tackles every game and use him that way. They're way overthinking.
Yeah, agreed. Damski, what's up, dude? He said Jeff Okuda headshot game. Yeah, that was, Dude, that was a brutal tackle, man.
I think you have to extend both Okuda and Terrell after this year, because that pairing is just so much fun. And Okuda's been absolutely fucking heinous with some of these hits the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's physical as hell, dude. I love it. I mean, I love it, man. And just I'm totally with you. Like, and what we give for him, a fifth round pick?
Got a fifth round pick for Okuda and a seventh round pick for Janu. Hilarious. And those, the person who I don't blame for any of what's going on right now is Terry Fontenot. He's given them the groceries, man. He found Nate Landman.
Yep.
Anderson goes down, right? We thought Anderson was going to be fine this year. Anderson goes down. Landman steps right in and is like, is he better than Anderson? Is that really an issue? Because they're both on rookie contracts. So, Adam, I think he does have the quarterback. I think he's got multiple guys he can use that can at least play competent quarterback, and he doesn't know how to develop them and doesn't know how to scheme for them and doesn't know how to make their job easier. As an offensive play caller, offensive designer, offensive coach, your job is to make it as easy as possible. If Kyle Shanahan out there can win with Jimmy Garoppolo, who we've seen turn into a damn pumpkin.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy, who doesn't have the physical tools that any Falcons quarterback has right now. I don't think he's really that good, Brock Purdy. But he's killing it in San Fran. I mean, I'm just throwing this out there. Like, the offensive play caller, the offensive scheme has to help the player. You can't just sit there and say, oh, well, we don't have the quarterback, or we don't have this, or we don't have that. 22 teams in the NFL right now don't have the quarterback. There's 10 good quarterbacks. We went through the era of great quarterbacks. Now we're in the era of shit quarterbacks. Welcome to it. We're one of 22 teams.
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate.
14 make the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
So...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know as far as Arthur goes. And I mean, I could, like we talked about, like, I've defended him, you've defended him. And it's just getting tougher, because at least with Kyle, like, even in like Kyle in 15, like, you could see, even though it wasn't working well, and even Matt even said on the sideline, when we figure this out, we're going to be fucking unstoppable. But you could see, like, okay, this makes sense. They haven't got it yet. But this, you can see kind of the thought process behind everything. That's what we're having a hard time with now with Arthur. Is like, dude, I'm trying to figure this out with you, but I can't really figure it out. Like, I mean, I don't know if it's going to be successful because of some of the way it's brought up, some of the way it's designed. Like, I can't tell if you're going to be better with a stud quarterback or not. You would think so, just because, yeah, you would. I mean, if you have a better talented quarterback, they're going to get you out of them. They may win in spite of some of your boneheadedness. You know, they may get you out of some of that stuff if you have a Drake May, insert whatever quarterback you like as far as, you know, top talented type guy, but maybe not, you know. And like, if that's the road we go down, if you're thinking about trading up, depending on how the season goes, then
If that's the road you go down and you don't bring in a guy who can fix the passing concepts and you don't bring in a guy who can, there's just so much more that you can do with this team, with the weapons that they have, with the roster that they have. Like, again, 22 teams don't have a quarterback right now. Mm-hmm. Their quarterback's injured. They're bad. Whatever you want to say, they don't have one. So can you be one of those top four teams without a quarterback? We know San Francisco is. And yeah, Brock Purdy's developing and all that. But how much of that is Shanahan?
Yeah.
Because Shanahan schemes him a lot of guys wide the fuck open.
Sure does. Yeah. He's been struggling without Debo. He's had a little, you know, you've seen him.
Debo's that piece for Shanahan right now. Like,
yeah,
the way Julio Jones was here, that piece that, like, draws all the coverages and does all the stuff that you want him to do. Debo was that piece for him, and without Debo, it's really tough for Shanahan, which is making it tough for,
yeah, again. Makes sense. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Anyway, so with Art, I've my little poll that I did, so no faith, whatever, still believe, or one foot out, or still believe but one foot out. I'm in the still believe 2 feet and nine toes out. That's where I'm at. I'm like hanging on by my pinky toe right now at this point. And I expected a lot more, man. I just expected a lot more, and maybe I expected too much. I don't know. Yeah, this is how I feel. But if we lose this week to Arizona, 1-8 Arizona, and I know Kyler Murray is starting. What do you think? I mean, do you think there's any chance at all they make a move in this season, or it's just going to be roll with it and see what happens in the offseason?
I think it's very likely Arthur Smith is the Falcons head coach in 2024.
Regardless of
what happens this year. Because the way that a guy like Arthur Blank's going to look at it, like, yeah, they gave me a 3-year plan to competitiveness. Yeah, year three of a 3-year plan, but no one says what the result or the goal is publicly, right? What if the year three of the 3-year plan is, hey, we've got a decent roster we're building, and we've got a scheme that we're running, and we think we got a quarterback that we really like, and like there's 5 or 6 goals and they hit 4 of them, right? What if that's all they need to do to keep their jobs, right? As horrible as that sounds.
Yeah.
You know, and we were in cap hell for 2 years, so we didn't really have a roster. So really next year is the third year of a rebuild where playoff or bust. I don't give a shit, playoff or bust. Because those first 2 years kind of consolidated that first year of a rebuild where you fix your cap, you get rid of the dead weight, what 2008 was supposed to be, get rid of the cap, get rid of the dead weight, build your roster, go from there, right? Well, 2008 was a lucky year. We had a fantastic quarterback, really killed it. Sadly, that quarterback has moved on into broadcasting.
Right.
Love Matt Ryan, but he was why that year worked. That roster was awful. That roster had no business being in the playoffs.
Not at all.
Michael Turner, huge deal for that too. But Ryan was making those clutch plays all year. So at a certain point, I think the Falcons will look at this and go, you know what? All right, we went 8-9. It was one game better. We got a better roster. We had some clutch key injuries that hurt the roster with Grady Jarrett going down and Troy Anderson going down. And we were missing Drake London for 2 games in the middle of the season. And, you know, we weren't really sure about who our quarterback was. So I'll give him another year. Hopefully the quarterback question can be answered by the end of the year. But at a certain point, Arthur's snarky bullshit is going to wear thin. And he's going to have to go.
Yeah. And that's watching the press conference today, there was zero snarkiness. And I mean, there should not have been, because obviously the results of the season so far, but he was definitely like a little shell of himself today. Like, there was no smart ass remarks, no sarcasm. I mean, like, you know, he joked about shaving the mustache off, you know, at the end of the conference. But I mean, it was a different looking guy. And I think maybe he's kind of starting to do some serious self-evaluation, which, you know, needs to happen. So
especially with his passing concepts.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, how hard is it for him to just steal some shit from these other coaches? They do it all the time. Like, you don't have to be 100% innovative and creative on your own playbook. You can steal shit from these other coaches. It's not fucking trademarked.
All right.
Like, you see what Shanahan's doing out there, steal some of his concepts. You see what O'Connell's putting out there, steal some of his concepts. You see what, like, all these other coaches are. The final play of the game, Kevin O'Connell straight up said, oh, yeah, we stole that play from the Lions. They ran it against the Falcons in the exact same situation and scored a touchdown. Straight up admitted, like, yeah, we took that play from the Lions. They ran it, so we ran it. Mm-hmm. And we know Mike Hughes is trash, so that's what happened right there. Because we saw Mike Hughes twice last year, so we know Mike Hughes is garbage. So we're just going to attack Mike Hughes with this.
Yeah, Alberta said, have you seen Bengals OC Brian Callahan? What do you think?
That Bengals offense is a lot of Zach Taylor. But I do think Brian Callahan has a lot to go for it. Is he the son of what was that guy's name? Bill Callahan?
Could be. I mean, it's all a, you know, very
it's a very business. Nepotistic business. It really
is, yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, I'd be okay with Brian Callahan, like, as a play caller. Mm-hmm. Do I want him as a head coach here? I don't know. Kid's like, I mean, he's like 39 years old.
Yeah, I don't know.
Been a coordinator for like 4 years, was a quarterback's coach for about 10. I mean, maybe he's a guy you come in, bring in, and he helps you to develop a quarterback, but I don't think he's really the play caller there. And when your issue is play calling, where are you going to get it?
Right. Berto, what's up, buddy? He said tackling was hot bubbo yesterday. Man, still begging this guy. Yeah, we talked about it, man. It wasn't good. Never should have came to that, but it did. And she said, I can't tell if that's a – is that what is that? I can't even see.
Cookie dough. It's okay. A cartoon.
Is it? Okay, cool. Ebuketti had a 90-plus pass rush grade against the Vikings, still dropped back on 30% of snaps, not taking first-string snaps. What's the big idea? Yeah, you just – I mean
– So Damski was like, hey, he has trouble setting the edge. He's not a great end there. I mean, you got a bunch of other run stuffers on the field with him right now. And whenever you throw Ebuketti out there, it seems to be a passing play. So why are we dropping him into coverage is the real question. If he's out there for 27 plays a game and he's covering the run for 9 of them, why is he not pass rushing for 18 of them? That's a real issue.
Yeah, and Kerry, we did. I mean, the run game was kind of gone. Then they were like, screw up, we're going to run it. And I think it was, 11 runs in that drive? 11 straight runs, yeah.
Now, there was a pass call like 5 plays in that was called, and it turned into a scramble. Mm-hmm. But it was basically an 11 straight run call game. Like, it might as well have been a quarterback draw the way he drew that pass up, because the concepts he put those receivers out on were all ISO beaters. We don't have ISO beating wide receivers. So what's the point of running ISO beaters?
Yeah. What's your thoughts on Van Jefferson so far?
Cut him.
Yeah. I've been wondering that myself. Like,
lost the fumble at the bottom of the pile. Fucking has had like 6 penalties called on him. Has run the wrong route 3 times, is responsible for probably 3 turnovers on his own. Like, in that he was right there to pick up the ball and didn't even try for it. Or when he did try for it, he lost it. Like, what's the point of having him? The whole point of having him was so they could stretch the defense. Well, we're not sending him deep to stretch the defense. So what is he here for? Depth? Well, then why are you playing him 30 snaps a game if he's here for depth? Like, you're treating him like he's a starter. He's not good enough in this offense. So, whatever.
What's up, man? Bless your heart, boys. Make sure y'all check them out on YouTube. Great show. One of my buddies, man. If this is Matt, what's up? He said CBS just retweeted Falcoholic Kevin. Kyle Pitts in 3 years has had just 2 games with 10-plus targets and never had 10 receptions in a game. Yeah, that side has said it all.
again, this goes back to design plays to create openings for your playmakers. And if one of your playmakers isn't on the field and you have Kyle Pitts out there with Algier and Hollins and Van Jefferson, we know who the play is going to be designed for. Throw multiple playmakers out there. I'd rather have multiple playmakers out there all at once than see, like, it's okay if you have to run a play with Van Jefferson, Mac Hollins, Tyler Algier, fucking Tucker Fisk or Keith Smith out there, and then John Fitzpatrick, and that's your, like, that's your grouping. Mm-hmm. Who cares? Like, that's a fine grouping for that play, because that play, I guarantee you, 9 times out of 10, you're fucking running the ball in a stretch play.
Yeah. Yeah. And William said, I don't think Arthur Smith knows his job is on the line. He may not know, it's on the line, but I mean, he's not an idiot. And he's got to realize that, you know, this, he knows this is a results-based business. I mean, and if the results aren't coming, especially, I've said all year long that I figured, barring a epic collapse, that, yeah, he would go into next year as a head coach. But next year you got to do something. Like, it's all, everything's off the table next year. Like,
yeah,
either win or get the fuck out. Like, it's, that's got to happen next year.
And the thing is, he could start out 500 next year. He could start out, you know, 4-4 again. But as long as he gets him to the fucking playoffs and looks like he's got a plan to get him there. So it is a results-based business, but it is also a process-based business. If you aren't getting the results and your process looks like absolute fucking trash, well, yeah, you're going to get rid of it,
mm-hmm.
You know, and that is the real issue right now. Is it's not that we aren't getting the results. It's that, yeah, there, we might be getting some results, but the process is trash.
Yeah, that's been the issue. Ken, folks, so we got Ryan Nielsen. What y'all talk about?
I like Nielsen.
I do too.
I think the last two games kind of show you that Nielsen needs a stud in the middle the way Grady Jarrett is.
Yeah.
To run the defense he wants to run. And he really just needs to get better communication from his back end.
That's been the problem. I mean, that was a problem during the Tennessee game, and it showed up again this game. You know, was, I mean, they had the explosives, what, three or four explosives this last game. And of course, you already talked about the ones happening in the Tennessee game. I mean, those are killers, man. And then ended up being, you know, ended up being killers at the end of the game. Let's see. Yeah, we said that one. Yeah, Lamb has been ridiculous. I mean, nobody saw that one coming. I mean, we saw him do really well in the preseason. We're like, yeah, he might be pretty decent.
Good depth guy, right?
Yeah, right. Good piece to have there just in case. And then lo and behold, like, dude's a freaking stud.
Lamb's the guy we all thought Paul Warlow was.
Gotta love Paul Warlow, man. Yeah, man. I don't know, man. Like, I'm kind of, like I said, Dempsey said they'd be brain dead to break up Akuda and AJ. That's a brotherhood with Bates. Probably should upgrade Richie.
So,
yeah.
I don't know about that. Richie, first year in the system, still kind of feeling it out. He's improved throughout the weeks. Yeah, he's still blowing a coverage here or there, but it's like he's learning from Bates and he's trying to make a play, but he's not good enough yet to make that play. I feel like Richie's also one of those guys that, like, you give him some more time and he'll have a breakthrough.
I have been, I don't know if you've seen, but, like, I have been, like, the Richie bandwagon from day one. And I've given him every out I could possibly give him. And I still do. I still support him. And I hope he, you know, it ends up being better, especially for the reasons you said. But, yeah, I mean, he's got to tackle a little bit better. Like, he tries to throw his shoulders into so many. I'm like, dude, you're not that big. I mean, you're not Sean Taylor coming up and just crushing guys. Like, you still got to wrap up, and like, dudes will still bounce off of you if you try to do that and don't wrap up. So there's a few, and then, like, we've seen him get burnt on double move, what, 3 times this year, 4 times. I mean, like, by tight ends a couple of times. It's like, yeah, you know, just realizing where you've got leverage, you know, where you've got leverage and where you don't, like that.
We've also seen Bates get beat on double moves this year too, two or three times.
Yeah, we have.
So that's not like it's anything new. I mean, yeah. This whole Jalen Carter thing. Jalen Carter would not be the guy that he is in Atlanta, the guy that he is in Philadelphia if he was in Atlanta, because – he had to get out of, he absolutely had to get out of the state of Georgia. So if you don't have Jalen Carter on your board at eight and you sit there and the absolute best guy is Bijan, there's a huge drop off to the next guy. That's why they went Bijan. Because I don't think Carter was on the Falcons board with some of the stuff that was coming out about him.
Yeah. We've been through this so many times, dude. I stopped talking about it at one point. I wanted Carter. We both did, actually. I mean, before the draft. And
I wanted Carter.
There was a point where he was the number one rated guy before all that shit happened. Like, there was thoughts that the Bears were going to take a number one overall. Then that happened and everybody passed. And like I said, they had the interview with him. And like you said, I mean, there's a human part of this thing that people ignore. And that was him probably needing to get out of the state and getting, and look, he went to the perfect situation for him. A stout, tough defensive line. All his boys are there, like every one of them. So now
don't get me wrong. Do I think Jalen Carter could have been successful here too? Absolutely. Sure. Especially if you've got, he's a rotational guy starting out, and he's got Grady Jarrett and mm-hmm. David Onyemata in front of him, and yep. Calais Campbell is there. They're not going to put up with his shit. They're not going to babysit him, but they're also not going to put up with his bullshit. And they would have been good mentors for him.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. But I wasn't mad at the Bijan pick. Still not mad at the Bijan pick. I wish he would be, used a little bit better. But that's the only thing there. But, yeah, I mean, I would love to have had him, but didn't. And here we are. Damski, what you're saying, about the we talked about that. Yeah, getting prioritizing not getting beat on the edges. That's fine. But on the passing downs – that's what I want to see him, dude. I want to see him go after that. I just want to see him out there.
On third and eight, why is he dropping into coverage?
Yeah.
And Calais Campbell needs to be willing to play inside.
Yeah, I wish he would. Yeah.
Especially he played inside against Washington. He seemed to have no issue playing inside. And that was when they had four of their six sacks.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I know, man. I don't know. I mean, going into this Sunday's game, what's your confidence level? Like, as far
against
as
Kyler Murray?
Yeah.
Fuck. Out of 10?
Sure.
A 2.
Oh, God. No, not a 2.
Like, and keep in mind, I'm one of the most optimistic Falcons fans out there.
I'm with you.
And I'm at a 2.
Yeah, I'd probably be, I don't know, I'm probably maybe a 3.5, maybe a little bit more, which is sad, but I mean, don't get me wrong.
This Cardinals defense is bad.
They're terrible, and they're bad against the run. They're terrible against the run.
And with how Heinicke played this week, you could easily get away with starting Ridder and being like, well, Heinicke didn't work. We're throwing Ridder back out there. We want to get him the reps, right? Mm-hmm. Defense isn't that great. Let's see what happens with this. And then maybe Ridder goes off, maybe he doesn't. But if Heinicke gets in there and he throws 3 picks, I mean, we know what the hell's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, we start off, we're 2.5-point favorites.
That's an embarrassing fact.
Which is just sad. But I mean, they've given you. We've given you zero reason to believe otherwise, right? I mean, I don't think anything. Somebody asked me last week. I might have been Alberto. Might have been said, "Are you?" Or somebody in the chat was like, "Are you concerned about the Vikings?" I was like, "Hell yeah, I'm concerned about just about everybody at this point because we haven't proven that we can just go in and like put our foot on anybody's throat or be dominant or any such thing."
I think Arthur Smith, through 3 years, has had this team win 2 games by more than 1 score.
Yeah.
So.
Carrie, I don't know. She said, "What is it? What is year 3 of a 3-year plan? Does that mean you get results? They get out of here. They never really told us what." All heard was they expected to win. Expected to win more. I think that's what we went with.
Win more games, but that could be 8 wins.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Liam says fire arts. That's my son, by the way. I think the predominant thought process for 13-year-olds is to get rid of Arthur at this point, which is not only 13-year-olds. There's about, what was that? 62% of them said they're ready to get rid of him. So,
in a sample size that's large enough to represent the 10 million people of Atlanta. Yep.
That's rough. That's rough. And Jamal said, rough. We lose next week and he's still the coach. I'm telling you, it's going to be some furniture moving. Yeah, we're going to be throwing some stuff. I mean, you know what, though? I don't think – I'm just going to go in with absolutely zero expectations.
20 preseason games.
Yeah.
I've said it the last 2 years. Hey, man, this is 20 preseason games. Hey, this is 20 preseason games. This year, back to that mentality, says I don't trust Arthur Smith anymore.
I'm just – like I said, I'm going in with just the expectation of – extremely, like, just barely minimum. Like, give me something. Like, if we score, I don't even know, man. If we score 30, I would be just shocked because we haven't done it all season. 28 was the most we've had all season long. But if we happen to get over 30, holy shit. But I'm not expecting much.
If this team like, scores over 30, it's because they had 3 defensive touchdowns.
Oh God, man.
I will put money on it that's what happened. That caused this team to score 30 plus.
Johnny R, what's up, man? He said, what's happening? An embarrassing loss at the Benz. Yeah, fans deserve better winning product on the field. Yes, we do, damn it. Yes, we do. Yeah, Liam, we're Coffee and Kid will be back this week. That's right. Sunday we'll probably do a Madden simulation of the Cardinals game. Maybe it'll work out better than the – we did a simulation for the Tennessee game, dude, and we kicked their ass just like by 3 touchdowns, exactly how it should have went. It was great. But, you know, that's not at all what happened, but it's okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like we talked about that, Liam. Ben Johnson would be great if that's the way that they decided to go. But Johnson said Arthur Blank needs to fire him now. This team looked predictable. Yeah, I mean, I agree with what Scott said earlier. I don't think there's any way he's getting fired during the season because you have to have a plan to go to. And at that point, you're assuming that either Jerry Gray or Nielsen, I'm assuming one of those guys would probably take over at that point.
I would probably have Jerry Gray at that point.
Me too. And you still have Nielsen run the defense, and then you're assuming you have Dave Ragone calling the plays. I don't know if that's any better or worse or the same. So,
or you promote Matt Schaub.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of there's a lot of variables. Word of the week that goes into that. So I don't know that that would actually be the case. He said I'm in campaigning for paper bags. Fans are embarrassed. Yeah, that was an embarrassing. That just was. It was.
I mean, we're one game out of first place in the division, so it's not paper bag yet. No, if we were 0-9, it'd be different, but we're not 0-9.
Yeah.
Steal some of Mike McDaniel concept, Andy Rico. Thank you. Fucking steal something from somebody because what you're doing is not working.
You're not the only one, William, man. The bins look rather bleak yesterday and a lot more purple than I wanted to see, but Minnesota travels pretty well. But
they're the second best traveling team we'll play all year outside of the Saints.
Yeah.
I fucking hated going to that Falcons game last year against the Saints.
Yeah. Chris, what up, dude? Good to see you, man. It's a rough couple of days, buddy. It's a rough couple of days. A DMB report, what's going on? Make sure y'all check them out, too. Arthur Smith has got to be in the hot seat. Yeah, it's definitely warm. It's definitely, you know, it's a little warmer than it was yesterday than it was last week. There's no doubt about it.
It's not chilly. We'll say that much.
No. He's not relaxed.
He's warming his seat up right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if they go 0-8 in the last 8 games, he's obviously gone, you know. Yeah. But I don't see them going 0-8. They're going to beat probably the Bucks again. They're probably going to beat the Panthers again. They're probably going to beat the Jets. Like, that's at least 7 wins right there. Then maybe they pull one out against one of the Saints wins. All right, mm-hmm. That's 8. And then who else do they have left? The Cardinals, who are 1-8, who they should beat, but – who knows? Like, there's a legitimate case that they could run the table this year. If this team was actually fucking good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the whole problem.
We have a nose tackle. Nose tackle is Onyemata. He's fantastic. Just need depth.
Jeff said patience gone. Yeah, it's definitely wavering, dude. It's on the extreme low end for me at this point. And I'm about as patient as they come, man. I'm as laid back as they come, as optimistic as they come, as patient as they come. But I don't know, man. Like I said, maybe our expectations were just inflated this year. But I mean, I just think that clearly the offense has just continued to let us down. And we keep saying every week, maybe this is the week. Maybe this is the week they put it all together. Maybe this is the week that they do it. Maybe this is the week that Arthur stops making
maybe now that we have no hope, they finally put it together.
Maybe they have to just crush us down to like fucking nothing. And then all of a sudden, there it goes.
And then they start scoring 30 points. Like if they score 30 points a game the rest of the way, this team's winning out.
Yeah, they go out and just blow doors this weekend or this Sunday. They go get refreshed during the bye week, come back and just go, you know, balls to the wall the rest of the season. Yeah, that's what we can all hope for. But I've been hoping. I told Berto that earlier. We were texting back and forth with Smith. I was like, hope is all I got left, man. That's literally all I got because my faith has 1%. That's about where I'm at. But so I'm hoping for the best.
I'm gonna leave you with this before I head out.
Yeah, man.
You ever see the movie Major League?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. You know the beginning of the movie? The Cleveland Indians fans that are sitting there going,
absolutely, yeah.
Ah, we're fucking awful. We're atrocious. Mild thing. Like all that stuff. Yeah. I'm about two steps away from that, which when I went to the Jaguars game in Jacksonville against them in 2021, that's where those Jaguars fans were at. Mm-hmm. I'm about two steps away from that with this franchise after what, six straight losing seasons, and then this season looks like it's going to be seven. So
yep, I know, man. Yeah, I did notice that Kenneth, he had just a black hoodie on. Maybe that was just his purse. Like, I mean, it was just he was feeling the darkness of the day, I guess. I don't know.
Hello darkness, my old friend.
Anyway, Scott, we appreciate you being on, man.
Of course, man. I'm gonna go eat dinner.
Awesome. Yeah, dude, go eat, man. We'll have you on for sure next time, and hopefully after like something positive, a win, it's something, anything that would be great. I mean,
let's get a win, and then I'll come on like a Thursday. Sound good?
Jesus Christ, that'd be great. That'd be great.
All right.
Well, thanks, dude. Have a good one, man. All right, guys. So appreciate Scott for joining us, man, and or joining me tonight. So I'm gonna have to sit here and do this all by myself, and you know, be sad and depressed, but I'm not as angry as I was yesterday. I'm still angry, but it's like I said earlier, I'm probably stage nine, just acceptance. But like I said, hoping for the best. Hope's all I got left, man. That's what, like I said, I don't know how you guys feel, but I kind of do know how most of y'all feel, but I don't know. That's how much faith left, man. Barring us going to get a huge ass upgrade in quarterback position, I don't know. Big boy, man. Appreciate you, Brewski. What's up? Sorry, hey, it's all good, man. It is all good. I'm going to go through a few more comments, man. I'm going to close it down myself and go eat. I'm not going to do it as long as normal since Mike's not here. Where were we at? Jeff, Coach Sissons are embarrassing. Yeah, man. Seriously, if they do lose to Arizona, could there be a chance they move on from Coach Smith? Oh, yeah, we were talking about that. I doubt it, just because of the reasons we just said, man. It's just there's so much that goes into the firing a coach midseason or after midseason. And, I mean, technically you're still in the playoff run, too, even if we lose. I mean, you know, we still beat, two games back, and you still have this both Saints games ahead of you, another Panthers, Colts. Like, all we just talked about that season, you know, it's just – it would be tough, as pissy as it would be for us to sit there and watch it. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just – that's kind of where we're at. Kenneth said Smith already announced Heineke. Yeah, yeah. And hey, Juan said he has more confidence than I do. While no Stash is still a coach. Yeah. It's sad, dude. It's sad we've gotten here. I don't know, man. Hey, that's a good call, hopefully. It's a good call. 42-10 West refs win. Giants said this is running team. However, Arthur Smith's stubborn situational play calling is trash. Yeah, the red zone. We talked about it. Red zone has just been god awful. So I don't even know what to say other than what we've already said, man. And then PR, I'm retiring. My Falcons got back for a while. We can do something. We all got to do something that, you know, maybe that shifts the, I don't know if y'all are that way. Like if you have a certain hat, certain jersey, whatever that is, switch it up. Cause we got to get some different thing going on here, man. Meter machine was up. He said, we were because everyone called for Heineke, but once he was in, no one's really enthusiastic, and we got the outcome. Yeah, I mean, the folks that wanted Heineke, like I said, I was in the middle. I mean, I just want a winner. I want to win. So if Coach Smith said, yeah, that's the best chance we got to win, fine, go win. You better go win. And you didn't win. And Heineke didn't look that much better other than we've talked about it. He had better pocket awareness, which you would expect him to have. But overall, it just wasn't there. I mean, it wasn't light years better than what we've seen with Ritter. So, I mean, you know, whatever. Jeff said, ridiculous to see we beat anyone else. Yeah, that's the thing. You don't – I mean, what reason have they given us to really be confident at that point, man? Jamal, he's just – he's out of town working. He's good. He's good to go, man. No issues there. He'll be back on Thursday. Another PR said, yeah, we drank too much. Yeah, we did, man. We that Kool-Aid looked good, and we drank it all, dude. We drank it all. He's doing good. He's doing good, Risky. He's good to go, man. All right, man. And then William said, ultimately got to go by New Year's. I mean, it's going to depend on how the season goes, and maybe not even that, dude. He may like Scott said, he may be here regardless of how the season goes. For me, if we by chance go 7-10 or worse, yeah, I'm done. I mean, I don't know, man. I just you got no reason at that point to. What have you done? I mean, you got your groceries. You can say what. I mean, Adam did say, you know, now he has not had an elite QB. Yes, we can tell. We can, but are you going to get one? Are you going to trade up? Are you going to trade 3 years worth of first round draft picks to go get one of them? Are you going to go get a free agent? Are you going to go try to get Kirk Cousins? Are you going to try to get a? And he's not elite, but he's playing, like Savion said last week, he's playing really damn good. He's coming off an Achilles. He's like 30, upper 30s. Like, what's the plan? So, I don't know, man. It's just, I don't know. Jamal, appreciate you, buddy. Thanks, man. Nashville, another performance like that at home. I paid for pals are not getting one. It's already showing, dude. Like I said, the Benz was not looking great last week. People are pissed off. They're unhappy. It's going to look even worse with Arizona in town, unfortunately. So, I don't know, man. So, because I think seeing our two QBs now, knowing it's kind of the same, makes us feel like there is no hope. Somehow they got to get rid of this culture of losing. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Jamal said, I'm done already. And I was told it was a three-year plan. This is year three. Yeah, I mean. I expected to win, man. I expected to make the playoffs. I expected to win this division. Y'all told us all off season, Ritter's the guy, which I'm still not out on Desmond, man. Some of y'all might be, and that's fine. He showed some stuff, man. He showed some stuff in the past game. It's still early in his career. I'm not a QB guru. I'm not a professional. I'm not a scout. Just a dude that's watched football for 30 years. And I mean, I saw some things. It may not be anything. He may turn out to be a backup, career backup spot starter. Who knows, man? But, I mean, he's shown some progress in the passing game. I'm not out on him. I still think he could potentially have a future. I could be dead-ass wrong, too. But, I mean, you got him in-house. You might as well see what you can do with him, man, because I don't know what else you're going to do. But, anyway, hey, Chris, like you said, remember, he was not. And he was never a world beater, man. That's what I was telling folks. Like, he still had a high turnover rate. He's a gunslinger, right? What we said, he gets you in trouble too. So, I mean, it is what it is. But anyway, guys, I'm going to stop yammering because I'm going to get depressed. And I'm about to go eat dinner. So, you guys have a great rest of your night, man. I know it's a depressing Sunday, a pissy Sunday, you know, angry, whatever you want to say, man. But we move, man. We move on to Arizona. We got Kyler Murray coming back. So hopefully the defense will get their shit together, tackle, keep them in the pocket, not letting them get in trouble. Offense, man, hopefully some success running the ball. Get Bijan, get Kyle. Hopefully Drake is back. Get him involved. Get all those guys involved, man. Just put the offense together for 1 week. Don't overthink yourself. Score some points. Get us a win. Make us happy, man. That's all we want. We just want to win. We just want to be happy. That's it. But you guys have a great night. Appreciate y'all hanging out with me tonight. And Scott, Mike, we'll be back on Thursday, 7 o'clock. I don't know if we'll have a guest, but we're going to preview this game for Arizona. I'm sure Mike will have plenty to say about this past week. So we appreciate y'all very much. Y'all have a wonderful night. What does Mike say? Out of your Falcon mind. Peace.